whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune.
Welcome to Company Break, a program dedicated to the companies and organizations in our local area, giving them a chance to talk about what services they can provide for you, our WCRI listeners. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Company Break. It is a pleasure to welcome into our studios here in beautiful downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, the one and only Nancy Bennett. Welcome, Nancy. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Mike. It's wonderful to be here.
It's so nice to have Nancy with us. Normally, Nancy and I have been dealing with a different subject on WCRI, and that's a matter of music related to the Jamestown Community Piano. For many years, you've been involved with that, right?
Yes, we're coming up on our 20th anniversary of the Community Piano, and we'll have next year will be our banner
the
concert season. Yeah, the big concert season. We also have a concert coming up on the 26th of January, just to put in a plug for that.
There you go. What we now have found out that what you also do is work with mindful-based stress reduction.
Right. It's a course called Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction that was started by a man named Jon Kabat-Zinn in the late 70s. He wrote a book on it called Full Catastrophe Living, which gives you a hint where this is going. And this is a course that's been around since then. It's been studied quite a bit. And I am now teaching it. I've been teaching it for a couple years now. And I'm starting a new cycle on February 1st at Inner Light Yoga Center for Yoga and Meditation in Middletown, Rhode Island.
Okay, so at Inner Light Center for Yoga and Meditation, you'll be giving these classes, and there's a workshop involved where people can find out about it?
Right. The whole course itself that starts February 1st is an eight-week course, which is weekly classes of 2.5 to 3 hours each week with a one-day, full-day kind of session, which is sort of retreat-like in between. But to give people information about the course, I offer these orientation and introduction sessions that people need to take at least one of these courses, just one of these workshops, to be introduced to the course and to meet me and for me to meet them and to see if this is a good fit. This is it can be a very intense course, and we'll get into that in a bit. And so it's very helpful if everybody really understands what's involved, what the commitment is, and exactly what this course is about.
And timeliness is very important. It happens to be today you have a session, right?
Actually, this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So if you're not doing anything else this afternoon, 2 p.m., this will be a free hour and a half orientation at Inner Light in Middletown in order to introduce the program and to have people apply and sign up if they'd like to.
And if they can't make this afternoon, there's another opportunity.
That's right. I'm doing a second one, or it's actually a third one. I did one last week, but the third one will be on Friday, January 24th at 4 p.m. These are hour and a half sessions. They're free to anyone who wants to sign up or who wants to show up and find out a little bit more about it, get a little demonstration of the mindfulness practices involved, and ask questions and have me get to meet them.
Excellent. Now, a lot of people recognize your voice because of years of you and I doing the Jamestown Community Piano thing, where you've been on Conducting Conversations many times and done some wonderful ads for the organization. So they know your voice, probably, a lot of our audience, but they probably don't know a lot about your background. So why don't we just touch on that as to how this all came about?
Well, wow, it's a long story, so stop me before I start. I start at
okay.
The age of six, you know. I was in advertising, actually, in my adult life. I'll call that my adult profession. And I liked advertising as an information platform. But, of course, we were advertising, you know, consumer products. And so the information that we were advertising was sort of banal. And what I love about this course is it gives me a chance to use this information platform to impart to people a really, really important aspect of the art of living. And as a growing up in the 50s and 60s, you know, people didn't know an awful lot about the insides of their minds,
right,
and how things worked and what emotions there were. So I came into my teenage years and my youth with a lot of confusion. I thought psychology would be the answer, but they were only studying rats, and they didn't care about, you know, the behaviorists were really right. concentrated on what people did and not what people experienced. Now, there were a whole group of humanists who believed in what people experienced, but I didn't know who they were. I was stuck with a behaviorist.
Yeah, I think what you just said is very important. If you're growing up in the 60s, I can remember, you know, my dad, my relationship with my dad. I don't think I ever hugged him. You didn't do that back
right,
then. You
right.
know, now you, with my son, we hug all the time.
Exactly. So the physical contact, but also we didn't talk about feelings, and
That's
we didn't
what I mean,
talk
yeah.
about what we were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have, you know, if you had an interaction with somebody, or I would have a fight with my father or mother, and I would stew about it because there was no place, no outlet for it.
Right.
There was
right.
no conversation. We had no conversation. Con meaning with. There was no way for us to talk about it. Nowadays, you know, a child might have a really strong emotional reaction, and a mother might be able to say, oh, you're really angry. And then the child begins to say, oh, that's anger. And right there, there's a huge learning. So coming into, you know, with that, I've kind of been on a lifelong search for ways to communicate, for ways of understanding what's going on in my own mind, my own subjective experience. So I came into like the early 90s, actually, and this also came out of crisis. My mother had cancer when I was 22, and we thought we'd lost her, but we didn't. She recovered for another 20 years, and then it recurred. And when it came back, her doctor gave her Jon Kabat-Zinn's book, Full Catastrophe Living. She gave it to me. I got all the tapes and meditations that were listed in the back, and the two of us started meditating. She would do them to go to bed, you know, and
right.
to sleep better. And I would sit in front of a video of Jon Kabat-Zinn in his white robe sitting in meditation for 45 minutes.
Hmm.
So that was sort of the beginning. And then I went on to yoga at Inner Light, believe it or not, and then to retreat, experiencing longer retreats, first a week and 10 days. I would do those once a year for a long time. And then at a certain point, I decided to take a deeper dive, and I started attending six-week retreats, and then I attended a three-month retreat of silent meditation. And out of that experience, then, came the next step. I wanted to actually talk to some of these retreatants, talk to people who were like-minded. That got me into chaplaincy, believe it or not, in the Buddhist tradition, where I started visiting patients in hospitals. And I loved that. I visited people in New York hospitals. I started offering meditation to staff. I visited people after Hurricane Sandy. Some of my patients actually had been through 9/11 and still had the after effects from that. And I came up here and started offering spiritual care groups in psychiatric units, and I visited people in palliative care. And then I began to hear about the mindfulness-based stress reduction course. It had been devised initially for patients in the University of Massachusetts Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
Jon Kabat-Zinn had been on a retreat and realized the importance of mindfulness and meditation, but he realized to make it acceptable to the medical community, he had to take all the Buddhism out of it.
Right.
So he did, and he came up with it, because mindfulness is a human condition. It doesn't belong to any particular philosophy or religion or culture. So he went from that kind of psychological basis and created this program. But initially, you had to have a prescription to do it.
Hmm.
But as they got more experience with it, they began to realize this is for everybody. So around 2015 is when I began to realize, oh, I can actually take this. I don't have to, like, go to a doctor and be certified for a certain kind of condition in order to do it. So I started taking first the course and then the training.
At UMass?
At UMass. Traveled up to UMass Medical mm-hmm. Center in Worcester, Massachusetts. It's about an hour and three quarters, but who's counting?
Yeah.
And depending on what traffic you run into,
and what snow,
I learned all
weather.
The back ways to get there, you know.
Yeah, from Jamestown, it's not easy.
And then they would also give some of the trainings at places like Omega. So I just go there for a week, and eventually I got my qualification to become an MBSR teacher. I had started teaching workshops that were shorter, And once I was qualified, I could teach the whole 8-week course, and I'm now on the certification track at Brown University because there's a center up there. So that's the next step.
Well, that's two pretty good names, UMass and then Brown. That's
pretty impressive, isn't
it?
Exactly. So mindfulness-based stress reduction has grown up and gotten quite a lot of cred in the business, as you might say.
So now, as far as that gives the audience a little bit, I'm sure we could talk a long time about your background and your personal way of getting here, but let's get a little bit more specific about what's going to happen, the MBSR, as we call it, the initials, which are the mindfulness-based stress reduction. When someone talks, if I heard someone saying, "Oh, I need stress reduction," I would say, "Okay, go take an aspirin and sit in the corner in the dark." That's not correct. I've proven myself wrong.
Well, I don't know. To start with mindfulness, let me just take a step back and just explain what mindfulness is.
Okay.
This is a word that's shown up everywhere. They now say, "Oh, be mindful as a woman, steps into a red car," or something like that. And it's gotten all out of proportion as to what mindfulness really is. And mindfulness is simply the ability to pay attention to your own experience in the present moment intentionally and without judgment.
Without judgment.
That's the tricky part.
Yeah.
But paying attention, for instance, you and I are sitting here, and I might say, what are you experiencing in your left arm? Mm-hmm. And for the moment, you probably hadn't thought about it until I asked you. And then you might say, "Oh, there might be pressure as my elbow is on the chair handle." Or, "I can feel the air passing across my fingertips." So it's just being mindful of sensation. That's a bodily sensation. So that's one whole arena of mindfulness, our bodies. And, of course, we take in our experience through our bodies. But we get so caught in our heads that we lose track of where the experience first came in and where we experienced it and just what it was telling us. So part of this process of mindfulness is learning to listen back to our own bodies. When we get into an argument with someone, we might not realize the tension is rising, because sometimes it starts slowly, but maybe if you're paying attention to your body, you might feel a slight tightening or constriction in the stomach or in the chest. So that might be a sign, this is maybe I'm beginning to get a little upset. Or you see a child running for the road and you immediately have this huge reaction. So you don't think, you spring into action, grab the child.
Right.
Which is instinctive, and you don't have to mediate that response, that reaction. That reactivity is going to save a child. But sometimes reactivity gets us in trouble. People who, for instance, now you wanted to know about stress, how this applies to stress is, stress is something that they've discovered is in the eye of the beholder in many cases. Stress, for instance, gravity is a form of stress, which we pay no attention to. A speeding bullet is another form of stress that that can have lethal consequences. In between is a whole range, a whole continuum of stressful situations. So how we perceive what happens to us is whether we perceive it as stressful or not. If you have a bad experience with a dog, you might see dogs and immediately get scared or whatever. Or if you love dogs, then, you see dogs and all this warm, cuddly, the fuzzy feelings come out. Those are conditioned responses.
Someone who is about to take a flight and is afraid of airplanes.
Exactly. Or somebody isn't, two people can be in high-stress jobs. One person's thriving. The other person is just struggling. And it's the same with air quotes, job, but the perception of what's being asked of them is totally different. And it's really some part of this of stress is how we perceive and appraise what's happening. Now, stress, normally we have our human bodies are like the animal bodies. If a zebra's out in the wild eating lunch, and all of a sudden, it's calm, peaceful, fine, everybody's happy, there's a bunch of them. All of a sudden, a lion comes along. Everybody immediately runs off. There's an immediate fight or flight, in their case, flight reaction. The lion threat goes away. He's gone off to find some other food, and they go back to eating, no problem. It just comes and it goes. With human beings, it lingers longer. And it lingers longer because we sit there before we start taking the next bite after the lion has left, saying, oh my God, oh my God, the lion did this, oh my God, that was so close, oh my God, did you see that? That was awful. We almost, you know. Yep. And we start ruminating. Where this really gets difficult is when people are in stressful situations that are prolonged and they can't control them. And this can be anything from having an aging relative, being a caregiver, to having a challenged child, to being to having a stressful job situation where there's controversy with your own boss, mm-hmm. to financial difficulties, to having, you know, struggling for food or home, to war situations, PTSD, prolonged exposure to high stress. And that begins to break the ability to regulate stress. And it sort of is like, you know, the flap stays open and we stay stressed and stay trapped in a stress cycle. So what's needed in all of those situations is to begin to apply mindfulness. With some of the more extreme ones that, you know, that really requires a lot more skilled care and therapy and so forth. And they're even still trying to find ways of dealing with some of the more extreme examples.
Well, obviously, in this half hour we have for company break, we're not going to cover all of those things, but we are going to get some more conversation in with Nancy and come back after a few commercial messages. We will be back. Welcome back to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano. Very pleased to be sitting with Nancy Bennett, and we are talking about MBSR, Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction, and she has a seminar. Is that the right word?
Not really. I've been struggling with that, too. Let's just say it, sometimes we call it a new cycle, but it's a course. It's an 8-week course, so every time I teach it, it's teaching this course, so it feels like a new cycle.
Right.
Or session, but it's not seminar particularly.
It's going to take place at the Inner Light Center for Yoga and Meditation, which is located at 850 Aquidneck Avenue in Middletown, Rhode Island. And you have a free workshop this afternoon from 2 to 3:30. And then next Friday night, January 24th, from 4 to 5:30. And that's an explanation, so to speak, of what the 8-week course is all about, right?
That's right. It's an orientation designed to introduce the participants or would-be participants to mm-hmm. the course and for me to meet them and to see if this is a good fit for them at this time.
Right. If you'd like more information as we're talking here, you can go on the site of innerlightyoga.com and check it out. There's some information there, and see a beautiful picture of Nancy. And
I've also just started my own website, so I'm going to give it a little plug here.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's kind of like, oh, my God, I finally have a website. Which I use the www because Google doesn't know who I am yet. Google, anyway, it's www.nowmindfulness.org.
Now, N-O-W?
N-O-W, mindfulness.org. No
cool.
spaces. And you'll find the same information about the course. You can't register there. You can register on Inner Light. But you'll find more information about mindfulness in general and about me and about kind of this whole world.
All right. And if you really want to go the old-fashioned way and you just want to call Inner Light because you're confused about where they are or whatever, there is a phone number. It's 401-849-3200. Nancy, we got into some very interesting topics in that first segment. We did run a little bit long, so we're going to have to be mindful of the clock, but you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, aren't sure exactly what meditation is. I mean, I've always thought of meditation as something that other people do.
And that's often the perception. Meditation can mean a number of things. But I thought maybe we'd do just a very brief mindfulness / meditation exercise, if you're willing.
Oh, with me?
With you, absolutely.
Okay.
And with your audience, although if you're driving, I don't recommend this. If you're driving, be mindful of the road. And all the things you need to be mindful of. It's mindful driving. But if you're just sitting at home, this is something anyone can do.
Okay.
So we sit comfortably to start with in a stable position. We try to stabilize the body so we're not twitching around, but also in an upright position so the body's alert, so we're not falling asleep. And so having done that, I'll just ask you to bring your awareness to the sensations in your body, for instance, the sensations of your seat on the chair. And I often ask people, they can even feel free to close their eyes or lower their eyes, so they're just looking at the floor in front of them. So first we pay attention to the body, the sensations of the seat on the chair. You might be aware of your feet on the floor. You might be aware of air on your skin or your back being upright. So coming into an awareness of body. Sometimes sounds might be important, and you might be hearing sounds. And but mostly we start with the body and the body awareness. And then within the still body, we begin to pay attention to the movement of the body. And the constant moving of the body are the heart rate, which is fairly subtle, and the breathing. And breathing is one of the main focuses for mindfulness meditation, but it is not the only one by any means now. We're really widening that focus. But just becoming aware of the in-breath and then the out-breath. So just take a minute and pay attention to the in-breath.
Mm-hmm. I feel, you know, as you were talking, I almost stopped you because as I started to feel my body and think about what you're going to ask me. I've felt my heart beating,
okay.
which I don't think I normally do. I never noticed that.
There it was.
There it was.
And you also were aware, and partly because you're the interviewer, of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So as we become more quiet, we become aware of the bodily sensations, the breath, and then, a thought just intruded. Oh, my heavens, she's going to ask me about my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Or, this is ridiculous, I'm not supposed to do this. Or, you know, I haven't got time. What are we doing? You know, and so the mind is very busy. And we become aware of it, and we become aware of thoughts as thoughts. Normally a thought comes in, we believe it, we go with it. In this case, we're actually looking at the thought. Oh, I'm having a thought about this. Oh, that's a judging thought. Good heavens, where did that come from? And we begin to look at our thoughts as arising experience that arises and passes away. And we don't have to get attached to them. We don't have to do anything about them. We can just notice and just observe. Or a feeling might arise. We're running out of time. And that might translate into a sense of a little anxiety in the chest, for instance, or a little constriction. You know, these are very subtle, and the quieter we get, the more we begin to pay attention to them. So that's sort of a little bit of a talking, you know, a conversational example of mindfulness. You know,
right.
Normally there isn't so much back and forth.
Right. If this was in true life, if we were doing this, I wouldn't make good radio.
Wouldn't make good radio, no. But I was going to ask you what your experience of it was, but you were quite forthcoming in letting me know. So.
I felt my toes was the first thing I noticed.
Okay.
Never pay attention to my toes, but when you said feet on the chair or on the floor,
right.
I noticed my toes, and then my heart and my breathing, particularly the in coming through the nostril.
And then the out-breath,
yeah.
You know, paying attention to the beginning of the in-breath,
mm-hmm.
and then the beginning of the out-breath, and then the rest at the bottom of the out-breath.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. The breath is fascinating. So bringing awareness of the body is something one can do just in any situation. If you begin to feel a little like the situation's getting out of control, or if you're beginning to feel some anxiety coming on, just grounding in the body. Okay, what's my body feel? Where am I feeling it in my body? Or coming back to the seat on the chair, the breath in the chest. Where do we experience the breath? Maybe in the chest, maybe in the abdomen, around the stomach,
mm-hmm.
maybe in the nostrils. So pick a point. So this is a grounding. You know, it can be just a 30-second grounding thing in the middle of some sort of stressful situation that allows us to get a second wind.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now if I were to ask you, as someone that was about to spend 8 weeks doing this, why would I need 8 weeks? How would you answer that for the person that's coming in off the street and saying, well, you just told me everything I need to know in 6 minutes. Why do I need another all this other time?
Well, because, in fact, I'm impressed we got so much done in the time we have. But, in fact, a lot of this this course is about teaching people the practice of mindfulness. And mindfulness is a practice. We don't immediately get it right. It's an ongoing practice, and everybody, loses their mindfulness at any given time. I mean, how many times have you driven down a road and suddenly realized that you don't remember where you are on the road?
Yep, I was on my way from New Bedford to Providence,
exactly.
But I don't remember Fall River.
Or how many times have you had a conversation and all of a sudden said something and seen a hurt look in someone's eyes and realized, oh my God, that was the wrong thing to say? You know, so mindfulness takes, mindlessness takes over at many times. So the practice of mindfulness is first to practice these practices in the course, and I'll talk about that in a second, and then to begin to apply them to life, to reduce your own suffering and reduce the suffering of others around you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the course is actually experiential and experiencing the practices. In much of the course, it's about 50% of each session will be one or another of the different practices. And I'll be teaching people, and I give people CDs to take home and do home practice as well.
Oh.
So the home practice is a big component of this. But the practices that we teach are the body scan, very simple yoga routines of lying down. We call it mindful movement, sometimes lying down yoga or standing yoga routines that are really simple and with the goal of experiencing the body. For instance, if I ask you to raise your arm, I'm not asking you to get into a particular position. I'm asking you to experience where you feel the sensations in your arm as you raise them, as you raise the arm. Mm-hmm. Then we get into sitting meditation and mindfulness, as the little bit that I showed you would be an introduction, and then we get into longer and longer periods of sitting. We also do walking meditation, mindful eating, and a practice called loving kindness, which is about training people, helping people self-train to think of themselves more kindly and to think of others more kindly. So these are just a few of the practices that we introduce during this period. And then there are discussions and little didactic pieces. We do a little section on perception, how it affects stress, how it relates to stress. We do a section on stress psychology and physiology, the fight or flight responses, what happens to the body. We do kind of an investigation into people's automatic habitual stress reactions and their patterns, so that people begin to look at what happens in their lives. What's your pattern? And you don't even know it's a pattern. All of a sudden, wow, I do that all the time, or I've done that before. Mm-hmm. And the revelations are wonderful. The other thing we do is mindful listening and mindful speaking, so communicating, how to communicate more mindfully so that we're more in touch with ourselves, we're more in touch with the other person, learning how to listen.
That's the big one.
Huge. Exactly. Learning how to listen when you're face-to-face with another person without rehearsing what you're going to say next, without arguing, but while they're still talking, we're busy arguing, learning to receive what another person has to say without prejudging it. So these are all some of the things we cover in the course.
Well, that's there's a lot. And unfortunately, this is one of those situations where we could go on for hours, but we're not going to do that because the program has to come to an end. You've been listening to Nancy Bennett and talking about mindfulness-based stress reduction. And the session is going to be at Inner Light Center for Yoga and Meditation, which is on 850 Aquidneck Avenue in Middletown this afternoon. There'll be a workshop for about an hour and a half or so, starting at 2 o'clock. And then next Friday night, or Friday early evening, 4 o'clock to 5:30 on January 24th at Inner Light. And Nancy will be there, and you'll get to meet her in person and find out more about this wonderful thing. I feel better already. So check it out at innerlightyoga.com or Nancy's new website,
www.nowmindfulness.org. And I really look forward, and if anyone wants to find out a little bit more about it, if you're just curious, it's a free workshop. I'd be delighted to meet you.
All right. You can go to that website, and if you have a question, I'm sure you can send an email to Nancy, and she'll be happy to answer it. Nancy, thanks so much for coming in today. It's been a pleasure.
This has been great. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Mike. It's really great to talk to you again.
Excellent. And the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Company Break.
Whistle while you work.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's presentation of Company Break. I'm Mike Maino, hoping you have a great weekend.